The Endangered Species Act turns 30 this year, and it may be showing its age. Some say the act is being torn apart by lawsuits filed by both business groups and environmental activists. The lawsuits are aimed at the part of the Endangered Species Act that forces the federal government to identify the landscapes used by rare plants and animals. The Bush administration wants to erase that rule, or at least revise it. Conservation groups say that could gut one of the country's most important environmental laws. NPR's John Nielsen reports.
The critical habitat rule in the Endangered Species Act is supposed to work like this. Every time a plant or animal is added to the list of endangered species, biologists find out where it lives, where it used to live, and where it could live in the future. When these studies are finished, the government puts out a map of lands that might be crucial to the survival of that species. These maps are supposed to make it easier for people and endangered species to share the same landscapes by guiding developments away from biologically important areas. But businessmen like Ernie Platt of Portland, Oregon, say the real effect has been confusion.
We don't know where it is, and we don't know what you're supposed to do to not harm the species that the habitat's designated for.
Platt is standing in a parking lot, the edge of a mossy creek in the suburbs of Portland, where Interstate 205 crosses over the water. Several years ago, this whole watershed was declared a critical habitat for salmon, even though there hasn't been a salmon in these waters for years.
The creek is flowing, but it's mostly urban runoff that runs in this creek, quite frankly. I mean, we're in an urban area.
Behind Platt, a construction crew is putting the final touches on a big new freeway on-ramp. When the lands around this creek were declared critical habitat, environmentalists charged that that on-ramp was polluting the Fishless Creek, forcing the state to temporarily halt construction. Business groups sued at that point, charging that the government had failed to prove the need to protect this kind of watershed in the first place. Not long afterwards, a federal judge agreed, forcing the government to take dozens of watersheds off the critical habitat maps until biologists could do more thorough studies. Again, Ernie Platt.
They got it wrong. They did not use an economical analysis when they designated the habitat, which they are required to do by the Act. And they also had some unsound science involved.
Spokesman for the National Marine Fisheries Service, which was responsible for those maps, prefer the word unfinished to the word unsound. More extensive studies are underway now. Federal judges have been sending lots of critical habitat maps back to the drawing board in recent years, almost always asking for more research. Steve Quarles, a lawyer who represents the business community, says it's an expensive trend.
And the result is it's swallowing up virtually every dollar that the Fish and Wildlife Service has. It's slowing to a virtual halt listings. It's making it more difficult to prepare recovery plans and to take the basic on-the-ground actions to protect species.
Ironically, many of these canceled plans were ordered by the courts in the first place. Up until the 1990s, federal regulators often ignored the critical habitat rule, failing to issue maps for more than 800 rare plants and animals. That changed abruptly when a small nonprofit group called the Center for Biological Diversity filed several dozen lawsuits designed to force the government to make the maps. Kieran Suckling, director of the center, says his group won every one of those lawsuits.
The notion that we're protecting habitat too swiftly in America is not to be believed under any circumstances.
Suckling walks through a small patch of grass near the coast of Southern California, looking for a leafy green plant called the Ventura County milk vetch. It once grew in wetlands up and down the shoreline.
But as those wetlands have been developed and filled in, the species has all but disappeared. It's really living on the knife edge of extinction right now.
The milk vetch has been known to be endangered for at least 30 years, but no critical habitat map has ever been prepared. Suckling says that's partly why the milk vetch is now one of the rarest plants in North America, surviving only on this small patch of land. He says many other rare plants and animals are headed in the same direction.
That's why we need these maps. Without having a critical habitat map and clear lines drawn to know where you can and where you cannot develop, then everything is left up to the discretion and the politics.
It's widely agreed that if these lawsuits keep colliding, they will cripple the Endangered Species Act. But at the moment, there's little agreement on how the problem should be solved. Business groups say it's time to take the critical habitat rule out of the law. Environmental activists, aligned with Suckling, say the problem is not the rule, but the way it's being implemented. They say a consistent lack of funding is the reason the government has been issuing sloppy maps. But Michael Bean of the nonprofit group Environmental Defense says increased funding won't be enough to resolve this issue. He says the biologists need more time. Right now, the habitat rule forces biologists to start drawing their maps right after a species is declared endangered, even though they don't know much about it at that point. Bean says it would help to let the biologists wait until after they've done the more extensive research that tells them how to bring a species back from the brink.
The information that is generated in the course of preparing a recovery plan is the sort of information that can produce better quality determinations of what habitat really is critical and what is not.
Craig Manson, Assistant Interior Secretary in charge of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, says that's a change that cannot be made unless Congress rewrites this part of the law. He has urged lawmakers to begin that process as soon as possible.
We can't just simply say, well, you know, the Endangered Species Act is carved in stone forever and ever. We've got to make sure that it works the way society needs it to work.
In the meantime, the Critical Habitat Program has ground to a complete halt. With all of the mapping and remapping and all the expensive court cases, the program's budget has run dry. As of today, all studies underway have been suspended until the beginning of the next fiscal year. To get the deadlines for those habitat maps extended, Manson says the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will have to return to court. John Nielsen, NPR News, Washington.